Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We are back. And we are live. It is UFC 286 from Fight IQ, presented by RotoWire. Main event, Kamaru Usman. Actually, I got to flip that. The A side is Leon Edwards. Leon Edwards versus Kamaru Usman 3, the trilogy. I am the Daily Fantasy Sniper. Go by Sniper_MMA, hosting the show. But with me, as always, the co-host, the analyst, the important guys. I'm just here for to introduce the fights, maybe give a couple ha-has along the way. We got Chris, also known as it was at Real Chris Olsen. Now it is the onlyest one on Twitter. Or you can find Joe there. Good. Joe, the MMA. At this point, you are the OG, I think. I know a couple OGs have won. I had a GPP win last week. But I think you are the MMA OG. Maybe one or two I would throw in there. But
well,
Joe
by Sun Tzu. I would gladly sacrifice my crown if I could have a week like you or Buddha 3. The only thing I can rest my laurels on is that my infamous Vaseline metric, my new wave MMA stat is 4-0 over the last few slates, including Alexa Grasso and Ariane Lipsky. So if you actually have been following my V metric plays, you'd be pretty close to being able to afford a car. So I'm proud of that, but like it's nowhere near as well as you and Mr. Buddha's been.
Listen, I had a 5-figure week, which was great, but I feel like I was owed a little bit, because you know this, and some other people do. The Volkanovski knockdown in round 5 of Makhachev Volkanovski, if he doesn't get that, I take him $100,000.
I know.
And I win the GPP that week. But that knockdown takes away Makhachev's the last few points he needed, and then all the Volk lineups passed.
I felt so bad for you, because I know you were thrilled. So close. And so this week, sweat.
Wow. So last week, I mean, it was a nice consolation. Don't get me wrong. Any 5 points.
I'd love to have a sweat. I haven't actually had a sweat, and I can't even remember. So I'm going to play more than I've been playing. And if I don't hit anything, I'm going to have to scale way back, because this is like, you know, like last week I did okay, but I need to kind of get back on track. So.
Well, this is the week for it, guys. So before we get started, podcast, like I said, sponsored by RotoWire. Go to rotowire.com/free for a 10-day free trial to all their premium content. No credit card required. They got all sports. Clearly, we're here with a baseball or football grass background. But, you know.
We are not to interrupt the promo there, but isn't anybody going to ask me how I feel about the card?
I'm going to get there.
I don't think we actually commented on the card yet.
No, we didn't. I was doing the intro, but look at Chris. Not even like, you know what, RotoWire? You take away our backgrounds. Let's just skirt past you guys.
No. This was not a passive aggressive move. It was not. It was just. I'm very ready to talk about.
I'm just causing trouble. I'm here to cause trouble. I will say, how do you feel about this? And I want you guys to listen to this 15 fight card. We got to keep this shit moving. 15 fights. How you feel?
And it's 10 p.m.
I feel like I got some probably pretty crazy plays coming. I think there's some chaotic dogs on this card that could do really well, particularly in the betting category, but I won't give that away yet. And we are coming to you live from whatever golf tournament is going on right now. We are coming to you live. That's why we're in such hushed tones tonight. We are commentating golf after this, so it's going to be a good
time. Chris, no, all I know is the massive upset that we've had in the in March Madness with the Fairleigh Dickinson University, as we in New Jersey referred to them, the Harvard on the hacky.
No. Okay, wait. Time out.
Beating Purdue, who I actually had going to the final on my bracket.
Now you are going to get time. You're going to get me fired up. We're going to go on now because I, for the, you know, not many people. I worked in college athletics for a long time. As my first career, I guess you would say. I was the sports information director at Sacred Heart University. Sacred Heart is in the same conference, the Northeast Conference, as FDU. I've been to FDU many, many, many times. Joe, I know they're in Jersey. The place is a fucking dump. It is.
It totally is. That's why they call it Harvard on the Hack. Hacky stands for the Hackensack River. I didn't even know they had a basketball team.
It's such a dump. That place is awful. Agree.
The Madison campus is a lot nicer, but like the Harvard on the hacky beats Purdue, who I had going in my bracket into the final game with Houston. So my bracket's pretty much dead.
You know what's funny is I picked a 16 seed in my bracket. It wasn't that one.
Wow.
I took the shot on Northern Kentucky. Houston got it done.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, we digress. Let's talk about this card. Let's start off. Joe, we got some Vaseline metric here. Juliana Miller, 9,400, taking on Veronica Hardy at 6,800. Line on this fight, Miller minus 500. Veronica Hardy, formerly Veronica Macedo, plus 350. Joe, we're going to start with you and see what the Vaseline metric is. Who picks it? I think Miller smashes, but am I crazy?
Okay, so to be clear, the Vaseline metric that I kind of debuted on Creating Alpha with Brett Apley, a few weeks ago, is purely based on physicality. And by physicality, I mean attractiveness. It does not actually endorse a pick based on fighting skills. It's purely based on attractiveness. Now, I've actually taken some heat. I kind of leaked what I was kind of leaning for the, for the V metric on this fight. And I think there are a lot of people out there that believe Killer Miller is a bit more attractive than Veronica Machado Hardy. But I am going to have to go with my initial gut, where I have Hardy at 2.5 jars of glass of Vaseline, or 2.5, and I have Juliana Miller at like a 1.75 jar of Vaseline. So that is telling me that the V metric selection is Hardy for this fight. The selection that I'm making is Miller. But like, if you're going to tail the V metric, you got to go with Masato Hardy in this fight.
This is what happens when you make this podcast at 10 o'clock, Chris. This is your fault.
If you just tuned in, I swear to God, this is a fight podcast. I promise that it is.
It's 4-0, guys. The V metric is 4-0.
I'm going to get it. Well, here comes the fight metric. I'm going to get this back on track. Sean, you asked the question, are you crazy? I think making my 3-1 or 4-1 fighter, professional fighter, minus 100 against anybody is pretty crazy. Particularly when you're talking about Miller, somebody wants to use their physicality, use their wrestling, but is really, really sloppy. In her UFC debut, just threw herself out of position a bunch of times. And the only win Hardy has, is a submission off her back against Pollyanna Viana, which is not a bad accomplishment. In fact, it's the only time Pollyanna Viana has ever been submitted in her career. Viana's going to be much bigger.
An accredited black belt is Pollyanna Viana.
Absolutely. Good to have you back, Joe. An accredited black belt, yes. And Miller is going to use her physicality. She's going to use her wrestling, but she's going to give Macedo, Hardy, I did it again, my apologies, a lot of chances here. Her striking is also very rusty gait, very amateurish. And if Hardy is one thing, she is very active and very agile. I think she has a lot of opportunities here. I'm going to give away my hot take very early. Plus 1,200 on the submission for Hardy. That is concentrated crazy by itself. That is a play to make. I don't trust Miller at all. I'm going with Hardy here, and I think it's a good play. I think the line is way off. party for the win.
Okay. Joe, are you getting Chris breaking up and not moving a lot, by the way?
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I'm having some issue. Okay, could be me. Could just be me. All right. That was, by the way, a long breakdown for the 15th fight of the card, guys, and you just tightened the shit up.
Yep.
Ludovic Klein, 8,400. No. You too, Rambly McGee. Ludovic Klein, 8,400. I'm getting both of you. Jai Herbert, 7,800. Line on this fight. Ludovic Klein is somewhere on this list. Minus 210. Jai Herbert is plus 165. Got our first England fighter on this card, by the way, from the O2 in London, England. If we didn't mention that, we should. Fight starts 1 p.m. Eastern time. Make sure you don't miss any. Chris, who you got?
Let's give the salary, Sean. Let's start giving the salaries.
I did right in the beginning. Oh, of both okay. The fights. Yeah.
Okay. You're right. It
is very late. But yeah, I like this fight a lot. I like Ludovic Klein. I always have. My only problem with him is that he's a little bit too passive. And we saw a little bit of that in Jai Herbert in the first round of his last fight. Could have been because he was worried about the takedown. Could have been because he was coming back from being knocked out. And now I'm getting some spinning wheel. Do you guys see me still?
Yeah, you're really
slow. You are breaking up, though.
Okay. Let's see. If it keeps happening, I'll come out and come back in. Maybe I'll do that after this one anyway. But I think Jai Herbert is I think he's a better defensive fighter. I think he's the slicker striker overall. Ludwig Klein is probably a little bit faster. I think Herbert's a little bit more powerful. And I like the way he puts his combination together a little better. I like how active he is. So I'm going Herbert here. I think this can be like a staring contest that devolves. And it's all like a one-strike knockout. So we could get a staring contest. We could get a finish with a lot of points. But my pick is Herbert.
Joe, who you got?
Yeah, so Herbert's 2-3 in the UFC, and Klein is 3-2, right? Neither of these are prolific DraftKings scorers. I think each fighter has only scored 100 points once. So that's 2 100-point scores in 10 fights. You know, he did win against Mason Jones. Ludovic Klein did last fight at 7K. So you're paying significantly more for him. In a decision, he put up 76 points. That's not going to work at 8.4K. I don't really love this fight all that much for DraftKings. I think it could be interesting. I actually have Herbert in one of my Rainmaker lineups, so I really would like Herbert to win here. But I think Klein is just a little bit better. And he has wrestling in his back pocket, not that you see him use it all that often. So I'm going to go with Klein, but I'll be pulling for Herbert just because of my Rainmakers lineup.
Chris, you started this fight. My mistake. I'm leaning towards the Klein side, but it's not a very strong take. I'll have both sides. Next up, Joanne Wood, 8,600, taking on Luana Carolina. 7,600 line on this fight. Joanne Wood, minus 175. Carolina, plus 145. Quite the step down in competition from Joanne Wood. I think she gets it done. Joe, who do you got?
Yeah, so there's really no V play on this card. I mean, if you ask me, I'd say that Wood is an under 2 V rating, and as is Carolina. You know, I have some concerns about Joanne Wood here. I mean, interestingly enough, you know, she's been a pretty prolific scorer on DraftKings, even in decisions. If you look at her striking, I mean, you know, she's put up, and again, this you have to look back, but like, you know, she throws up a decent amount of significant strikes. I just think she's too expensive here. She's on a 3-fight losing streak. Yes, against, you know, Grasso, Santos, and Murphy. So you're right, this is a bit of a step down in competition, but I believe she's, what, 37 years old, has been kind of hinting at, you know, wanting to start a family, I believe. You know, this is all kind of narrative, which kind of, you know, takes me off, you know, JJ here. I'm actually going to go with Carolina at the upset. I think she's got more to fight for. I believe that if she loses to a fighter who's coming off of, you know, 3 straight losses, that she's likely going to be cut. Maybe not. She's 8-3. She's 2-1 in her last two fights. She lost against Molly McCann. She beat Godinez and Botello. She's not a prolific scorer either, but at 7.6K, you know, what do you need? She actually beat Priscilla Cacciabiting, who's a pretty aggressive fighter, put up 102 points in that fight. So she's younger. She's not hinting at retirement. I think at 7.6K, she's live. So this is not a V-metric play, but this is a play that I like as my first underdog pick. I'm going with Carolina here to get the upset.
Wow. Okay. That would be bad for me on DraftKings. Chris, you got?
Yeah, I actually think Joanne Wood is one of your mainstay cash plays. I don't see how she loses this fight.
Oh, there's so many far better plays.
I don't. Well, you talked about that she's actually pretty good DraftKings for her last win against Jessica Eye because she threw up 148 significant strikes in the three rounds.
Yeah, but that was when Crocs were cool and she was.
That was in 2021.
Yeah. She was 35. Now she's 37.
She's still going to be so much faster.
And you could pay down $100 and get the most prolific DraftKings, one of the most prolific DraftKings scores is $100 cheaper. So why in the hell would you play Joanne Wood?
Well, you can have an 86 and an 85 on the same card. Who's asking you to
There's far more risk in Joanne Wood scoring 100 points than there is and Casey O'Neill. And by the way, I think Maya's a good fighter. 100
points in a cash lineup.
Okay, you play Wood at your own risk, guys.
I'm gonna play Wood, and I'm gonna keep talking so that you can't make a sex joke about it. But I am gonna play Wood, and I think that Carolina is like she's got the baby giraffe thing going on. Even at 36-37, the Wood's gonna be much smoother, much faster. I just don't see any way Carolina wins.
You're thinking of a Joanne Wood that no longer exists. You're thinking of a Joanne Wood who's not 37 years old.
But I'm not. So look at her and John. I'm trying to move. Joe won't let me. Hey, look at her losses. By the way, she beat Lauren Murphy. She won that fight.
And so, Chris, you know who James Tahuna is?
All right, we're not doing this. We got 15 fight card. Next fight up, we're going Jake Hadley, 9,300, taking on Malcolm Gordon at 6,900. Jake Hadley is a large favorite, minus 450. The comeback on Malcolm Gordon is plus 325. Malcolm Gordon, who sometimes gets jabbed and then likes to fall.
Malcolm Gordon missed weight, by the way, significantly, and Hadley looked horrible on the scale.
And Hadley's going to want to grapple for what that's worth. Chris, you are first for this fight. Who you got?
Yeah. This is another one, not as lopsided to me as a minus 500 for a 3-1 fighter, but to the point that Jake Hadley hasn't really shown anything. I would say Malcolm Gordon has lost and beaten better competition than Jake Hadley is, at least in the UFC. I mean, he beat Candelario, and that only happened because Candelario took him down. That fight was pretty even before that happened. Malcolm Gordon, I know we all shied away from him after Albazi and then after Sumudarji just kind of melted him and he just kind of went away. But he's shown good things after that. He showed good things against Figueiredo. And he showed he was in there to fight. Maybe he resolved to himself, okay, I'm going to get hit. I got to get used to it. He scrambled with Mokaev pretty well, at least at the beginning, before Mokaev took over. I don't love the idea of taking two sub 7,000 players on one card, but I just don't know why Hadley would be so highly priced here. He hasn't done anything. Malcolm Gordon has shown himself to be more than capable on his feet. Again, his defense looked better. His pain tolerance looked better of late. And Hadley just hasn't done anything. So I'm gonna go with the big dog here. X.
Yeah, I don't hate that play, Chris. I mean, Hadley is my least favorite fighter. Greater than 9K. He's my least favorite in that group. So there are 5 fighters I like more than him. Greater than 9K. I think he probably gets to win here, but I don't hate that play. And I like the fact that Gordon missed weight by a lot, because that means he probably just stopped. And Hadley tried to make weight, and he paid for it by looking like garbage. So I don't hate that play on Gordon. I think Hadley's going to win here, but I really do like where your mind was in giving Gordon a shot at 6.9K for all the reasons you mentioned.
All right, let's go. Next fight up, we'll talk. Which Duncan is this? This is Christian Leroy Duncan, 8,700, taking on Dusko Todorovic at 7,500. Line on this fight, Duncan is a minus 225 favorite. Todorovic, the comeback, plus 185. I think Todorovic is a very, very live dog. Duncan needs to make him blow his load, and Duncan's going to get hit. And just, if he doesn't get finished, though, I think he'll finish Todorovic. Kind of similar to how Todorovic beat Beverly Hills Ninja. What's his fucking name?
Jordan Wright.
Similar to that, maybe not as severe, but I think Duncan's going to have to weather an early storm. But I do think Todorovic is live, because I'm not sure Duncan – I've seen Duncan hurt a lot. So I'm still going to pick Duncan because I think he's technically better. I don't like the way he's reacted to getting hit sometimes. Joe, you're first.
Yeah, I don't disagree about Todorovic being a live dog here. I think this is a fight you should probably have some exposure to. Just based on salary with Todorovic at 7.5K, I'm likely going to own more of him, because there are too many fighters that I like better in and around the 8.7K that Duncan is priced at. And the fact that, you know, this is his UFC debut, you know, so I'll pick Duncan for the win. But in terms of DraftKings and in terms of ownership, I'm likely going to have higher ownership on the dog at 7.5K.
Chris, who you got?
Dusko Todorovic, a.k.a., according to Best Fight Odds, Dusko Todorovic, which they've never changed for some reason. I'm going to Dusko. Not only has Duncan hurt, as you said, but watched four or five of his fights that I could get my hands on. He was taken down and held down in every single one of them. And Todorovic has been grappling more lately, because he has to. He doesn't want to take as much damage, whatever the case. But I think Todorovic could probably out-grapple Duncan. I do think he's actually pretty slick on the feet. He throws in some good feints and stuff. And some kicks, although he gets a little too crazy with the spinning kick. But I just don't see anything overwhelming about him. Now, you don't need to be overwhelming to knock out Todorovic. But I think that, as Joe said, you should have both sides, because I do think this one ends early. I think if it's a Durko fight, you can't help but end early. But I'm going to take the dog here again. I know these are going to burn me. At least one of them will. But I'm taking the dog here again. I think he can out-grapple. I think he can throw some hands. And, so I'm taking Todorovic for the run.
All right, next fight up, let's talk Lerone Murphy, 8,300, taking on Gabriel Santos at 7,900. Line on this fight right now, Lerone Murphy is minus 185, Santos plus 150. You got some line value here building on Lerone Murphy, and I'm actually skeptical. I think this is going to be a really, really tight fight. Gabriel Santos is really good, LFA champion. Santos hits hard. I think Lerone's might be a little better technically, but Santos is a good way of just making people miss and getting the shot that he wants off. I've gone back and forth in this fight three times. I'm landing on Lerone Murphy, but this is a really close fight. There's a lot of odds value on Murphy. I think he's going to be really highly owned, and I would hesitate from just slamming on that odds value. Gabriel Santos is not, I know he's a short notice replacement UFC newcomer. When guys are Cage Warrior champs and LFA champs, like, take a beat. Just take a beat. He's good. He's a legit prospect. I am still leaning towards Murphy for hometown and a little better technically, but this is going to be a fun fight. Chris, who you got?
I'm actually not looking at this fight too much. I think it could be kind of a slow-paced, counter pressure counter-striker versus regular counter-striker. Lerone Murphy has grappled a little bit. we know he can. He did it against Ricardo Hamosh, but I don't really see that in his future. I think a lot of this can be a staring contest with like some flurries in between. If I have to make a pick here, I'm gonna go. I take what you say about Santos and counter shot, but I'm gonna go Murphy. Just a little bit of what I see as a cleaner striker, a little bit of a cleaner boxer. I do think it's a close fight, as I say. Don't really see a lot of points in this one, so I'm probably gonna be skipping it mostly on the 15 fights.
Joe, who you got?
Yeah, you know, so Murphy was 3-1 in the UFC. Has only scored 100 points, over 100 points once. If Santos was not taking this fight on short notice and didn't have to travel as far to, you know, to London from Brazil, I would like him a lot more. I see this as a coin flip, quite honestly. I don't know. I don't see Murphy as minus 180 here. I see this as, you know, minus 110, minus 120. You want to give him 10 points for being at home and, you know, being able to sleep in his own bed. That's fine. But, you know, I'm with Chris. I don't know that there's going to be a lot of points scored in this fight. Maybe I'm wrong, but you know, again, three wins and a draw, 41, 107, 60 and 82, not exactly a prolific scorer here. So, and again, you know, Santos is good. I mean, 10-0 LFA is no joke. I mean, that is at least equal, if not superior, to Cage Warriors. Probably superior. And it really is a feeder for the UFC. So, I'm going to pick Murphy just because of the intangibles. You know, being home, you know, not having a full training camp. But it would not surprise me at all. And I don't expect to be owning a lot of this fight.
Fair enough. All right, next fight up. We got Muhammad Mukhaev, 9,700, taking on Jafel Filho at 6,500. Line in this fight, Mukhaev's minus 900, Filho plus 575. So we just move on right. Hang on. This is a dangerous-ass fight to me for Muhammad Mukhaev. I don't like what I saw against Malcolm Gordon last time out, who I don't rate very highly. I think he leaves opportunities. I still think he's young and on the come up. And Jafel Filho is a tough guy who's going to make him fight. I don't think Filho is going to get run over. And I think if Mukhaev doesn't run over you, I still don't know what he has for you. Like, he's got all the skills. He's there. He should be a big favorite. I'm not saying I'm not picking him. I am. I just, one, I don't think this very well could not be a squash match. Like, I'm hesitant to just be like, oh, yeah, he's going to run through him. I would hold up on that. And then the real issue here is Mukhaev's price is 9,700. Look, there has, since 2022, and I'm going to give away some optimal lineup analysis that I've been using, and I have, if you go on my Twitter, I have places that you can check out. But there has never been more than two fighters since 2022, more than 9,000 on the optimal lineup. We got 90s, we got 15 fight card. There is a lot of fighters over 9,700. Mukhaev, Shore, Miller, Hadley, Nelson, Vettori, Peterson. He's got to be in the top three scoring there, and they have to fit. I don't know. I don't feel so good about it. I'm going to be underweight to Mukhaev. I think he wins, and I'm going to be overweight to Filho because I'm not – I would not surprise me to see a guy like Mukhaev slip up. He's a hype train I'm not all in on yet. That's my read on it. Chris, who you got?
Yeah, I basically agree. The only thing I would say is you mentioned it, but for me it's more salary-based than it is that I think he's actually going to lose the fight. But particularly because, like, Phil is very active off on the ground, very active off his back, you know, look for legs. And I don't think he's going to sub Mukhaev here, but I do think it can slow Mukhaev down and maybe make him not look for as much grappling. Or have him stall out in positions he normally wouldn't. So I agree. I think he's going to win. I think Filho maybe wants to spend a little too much time on the ground and maybe rack up the control time that way, but that's not going to get you 120 points. I just feel like Kai's going to get stalled out here. And even if it's in the opposition, again, like you say, it's not going to be enough for 9,700. So the pick is Mukhaev, but I'm probably going to be underweight. I don't see that 120 points coming back for a fourth consecutive time.
Joe, who you got?
Yeah, so Gordo Gambles, he does a podcast with Brett Apley on Brett Apley's premium channel, Daily Fan MMA, dropped some narrative on me that I really like. I love narrative, but this was very interesting, and it's not anything I've actually heard before. Apparently, Makhachev is nursing a really bad shoulder that is going to require surgery, and I believe he's already committed to having surgery after this card, but he wanted to be on the card at the O2. So look, take that for what it's worth. This is another guy who is coming from Brazil to fight against a guy who is home. But you're right. Like, Gordon had some moments. You know, you got to play Makhachev, you know, based on his scoring in DraftKings. But I think, you know, if you're doing 20 lineups, you should probably have lineups without Makhachev in them. I'm not saying you have to play Philo, but have a few lineups without Makhachev.
What do you mean a few?
Yeah.
How many you played 20 lineups? How many have Makhachev about?
Well, you're probably gonna have 10 to 12, probably.
I'm not.
Most people are. He's gonna be probably 50% owned.
Yeah, if I have 20 lineups, I'm gonna have 3 or 4.
Okay.
We don't see 9,700 like this. I think that's gonna
turn. Well, part of the problem is what you have to look at is you have to look at the fact that he is a scoring machine, and people are going to look at that and they're going to see 126, 122, 120, right?
Maybe.
And you're going to see 9.1K, 9.5K, and 9.6K, right? So he's made his number in his last three fights at over 9,000. So he's going to be really popular. And I know people that are going to put him in a lot of lineups because they see a lot of value you know, underneath him. So I think he's going to be really highly owned. I think people are going to be playing him really heavily. And what's stopping me is the narrative, you know, because I love narrative. So we'll see.
Yeah, we will. Chris, who you got?
Once again, I went first, John.
You did? Really?
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah.
It's too late, man. I'm like falling asleep here. This is too late for a dad with a kid in kindergarten. I'm barely holding it together. Hope you guys cut me some slack out there. Jeez.
Yeah, we will.
Sam Patterson, 9,000, taking on Yanal Ashmoz at 7,200. Patterson is the favorite in this one. He is -275. The comeback on Ashmoz, +220. Think Patterson is a prospect that may get tested. I just I'm not a believer in Yanal Ashmoz. I don't think this is the spot Patterson gets tested. I think his wrestling carries him through here. Joe, you were first this time.
Yeah, so I've been hearing a lot of secret love for Ashmoz. A lot of secret love across the board from several different people. And you know, who I respect, that they really think that this is a good play at, what is it, 7.5? Where is he?
I said it was 7.2.
7.2. A lot of people are liking him. Now, again, he's 5'9". Patterson is 6'3", right? So, you know, one, that should make him easier to take down. But also, if Patterson could fight at range, you know, he could probably piece him up. I'm actually going to go with the dog here. I'm going to go with, and again, this is solely based off of the opinions of several people that I respect who don't understand this line and who think that Ashmoz has got like a real shot here and that this should be an even fight. And Patterson is getting way too much steam. So I'm building lineups with Ashmoz. I mean, you could really do a lot at 7.2K. So I'm going to play him. He's going to be my pick. And again, that's probably maybe why I'm getting to Makhachev so much, because, you know, you got a 7.2K guy in there. But yeah, I'm going to go with Ashmoz.
Chris, who you got?
Chris?
Yeah, you're on mute, buddy.
Sorry, I was Somebody told me to hit the cough button before, so I'm self-conscious about it. Yeah, I can understand not liking Patterson. He's got a real case of tall man defense going on. He just pulls straight back and it gets him hit. But again, Joe mentioned it, the 8 or 9 inch reach disadvantage. I haven't seen Ashmoose wrestle all that much, but even if he does, Patterson's really good at locking up those chokes with those long arms. I just don't see a lot of pathways for Ashmoose here. I don't really know what he's going to do. I know he likes to wade into the fire. I know he gets hit a lot himself, and that's not really good if you're dealing with that big of a reach disadvantage. So, Ashmoose, look, as Joe likes to say, I'll need a pork chop if Ashmoose wins it, because I really didn't see a lot in him. And I think the fate on Patterson is going to come next time around, but for this time, I'm taking the tall man.
All right, next fight up, let's talk Omar Morales, 8,200, and Chris Duncan at 8,000. Line on this fight is gone. Best fight odds happened. Some kind of weird.
That's it, folks.
Could just be me. Chris Duncan's -115, Morales -105. It's a pick 'em across the board, depending what site you look at. And I kind of agree with that. I'm leaning towards Chris Duncan right now, but it's not a strong lead. And I think if anybody's going to get a finish for DK, it's probably Morales. So that's my quick 10,000-foot analysis on that one. Chris, who do you have?
I was ready to pick Morales when I saw Chris Duncan's pick. He's kind of a brawler who waits forward and gets hit. But the problem with Morales is he's methodical to the point of being inactive. He'll throw some hard kicks. But in his last fight, he sort of just stood in front and got knocked out. And that could happen here, too. I mean, he was getting frustrated. You could see it. He was getting hit, and then he would just throw these wild hammers that were easily dodged by the opponent. I don't know if Duncan dodges anything, but I can't pick Morales. I mean, you want to talk about points scored. I don't think he scored above 72 or 68 in his UFC career. So even when he doesn't score, this could be different, because I do think these are Duncan's an action fighter. He's going to bring it, but I just can't trust the guy. Morales is going to be so inactive, so my pick has got to be Duncan.
Yeah, I don't think Duncan's actually met a punch he doesn't want to get hit by. I like Morales in GPPs. It is purely GPP. You know, you're right, Chris. He hasn't been a prolific scorer. This is the cheapest price. I can't see what he was priced at for Giga, but his last three salaries, he's been progressively dropping: 87, 85, 84, and now he's at 8.2. So again, this is tournament only. But I do kind of like him here.
Okay, let's go ahead. Let's talk about our next fight, which is Jack Shore at 9,500, taking on Makwan Amerkani at 6,700. This is the featured prelim, by the way. It's a soft featured prelim. Man, they're giving – okay. Anyway, for a good card, this is a soft featured prelim for a good card. -550, Makwan the comeback +390. That's right, Makwan, take your – great topology picture and seeing Cage Warriors, but I think Shore wins this one pretty comfortably. Who's first for this one? Joe?
Me.
Joe.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think, you know, Makwan could have his moments in the first round, you know, which is, you know, we've seen him be effective, you know, and then just like hyper gas. I like Shore here. I don't know how much I like him at 9.5K because I don't think he's going to get a first round finish. I think it's going to – actually, he's never gotten a first-round finish in the UFC. And last fight out, he was finished by Ricky Simone. He got subbed. So if you look at his fights prior to that, third-round win, third-round win, third-round win, second-round win, third-round win, right? So, look, you know, he could rack up some points. I mean, this is by far the most expensive he's ever been at 9.5K. I don't know how much of him I'm going to have. I mean, purely to pick to win, I'll pick him to win. His last fight against Ricky Simone, which he lost by sub in the second round, that was his first loss. So he's 16-1. So I have to feel that he's going to try to prove something. I like him to get the win here, but don't be surprised if Marwan has some moments in round one before he gasses out in round two.
All Chris, sorry.
Thank you. Thank you. Mac1 is going to do Mac1 things, which is come out really fast, gas out, get tired and lose. Joe, I think you're being a little generous. Say it's going to happen in round two. Generally, he doesn't wait till the end of round one for it to happen. It happens towards the end of round one. He could hang on, but and this may be even worse for him because Jack Shore is a good grappler. Jack Shore, I think, went 6 of 8 for takedowns defended against Ricky Simone. It's worthy of note that that was not just a sub, but a club and sub, which makes it a little bit different in my mind because Mac1 Amerikani's boxing has never been any good. I just don't see how he gets to Jack Shore in any way. The only thing here is sure they get the points. If they grapple together, you can give Mac1 a chance, but then again, he's going to get tired and Shore doesn't mind throwing hands. He's a good combination puncher. He pressured a lot. And that strike finished the UFC. I feel like this might be the first one. I like Shore a little bit at 9,500. I don't know how much upside is there exactly. But I do like him. I'll have a few shares just as maybe a contrarian payout because I have to trust McNamara McConaughey to combust as he always does. And Shore's going to be there to pick up the pieces. Just a matter of when it happens, but I'm going to take a shot. I'm going Jack Shore to put up some points here.
All right. For the people listening via audio, we're going to take a quick break for our awesome sponsors.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, YouTube people and everybody else, we're back. That was a weird pause, I know, but I was asked to do it, so I'm going to have a little bit of fun with it. It can't be your average commercial break here on Fight IQ, which, by the way, make sure you go to rotowire.com/free 10-day free trial to all their content. No credit card required, and even more importantly, hit that subscribe button on YouTube. Subscribe to RotoWire MMA on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast. I'm sure we're there. Hit that subscribe button. Make us very, very happy. And then listen to us talk about Marvin Vettori at, 9,100. Roman Dolidze at 7,100. Why did I say, huh? Well, let me give the odds first. Vettori -250. Dolidze +200. If you didn't guess it, this is my dog spot. You put your pants on backwards, I think you're a moron who can't, like I'm not going to be picking you most times. And that is exactly
what Marvin Vettori did. Cross. Never know.
Yeah, look, I'm not saying Dolidze is going to go out. I think Dolidze is a very, very live dog. Well, I don't think Marvin Vettori is that good. I think Dolidze can outvolume him. I think Dolidze's got the takedown potential there. It's just, I think this fight, like you said earlier, people are thinking that it was the Ashmo's Patterson fight should be 50-50. This fight to me is more 50-50 than that one. The issue here is the name value in Marvin Vettori. But you saw what Dolidze did to the last name value guy he fought. I'm not convinced he's going to do it here 100%, but I'm going to ride with him because I'm fading Marvin Vettori. I'm not on the Marvin Vettori train, and I won't be. I'll continue to pick against him even if he wins. Don't think he's that good. Okay, now that I've bashed Marvin Vettori sufficiently, I'm going to hand it over to Joe.
Yeah, I like Vettori quite a bit here.
I know you do.
Yeah, let's look at his losses. A guy by the name of Robert Whittaker. I may be wrong, but I think he was a former champion. Israel Adesanya, also a former champion. And he's essentially, beat everybody else. I think, Roman is a guy who has overshot his skis. And look, I get the love for him. I get it. I really do. It's interesting that a guy named Roman is fighting an Italian in Marvin Vettori. But I think, you know, Vettori could actually style up here on Roman. Look, again, this could be a pork chop, but everything, the metrics, the level of competition, you know, screams Vettori. I mean, look at numbers he's put up. I mean, you know, Paulo Costa puts up 122 points against Paulo Costa. Puts up 62 points in a loss against Izzy. His worst fight, arguably, was his last fight against Robert Whittaker, and he put up 15 points. Scored 156 points against Kevin Holland. I think he's got the potential to break the slate at 9.1K. I love Vettori here. I like him a lot. I don't fault people, you know, for the overachiever that is Roman. And I think he has been an overachiever, but I really do think he's been overshooting his skis. Yes, Cheyenne Lipsmith is hot, so I get it. You know, former Cheyenne Buys, so I get that. But still, I really like Vettori a lot here.
Chris?
Yeah, Sean, my friend, I think you've bought into a hype train here. While saying you want to fade one, which is interesting to me.
Come on, like...
I understand you're not liking it, but it's just Dolice, I mean, he was getting boxed up by Jack Hermanson. Who does that? And then he takes Jack Hermanson down. Look, it's interesting to note that the last two wins Dolice had have been wins because the opponent took him down. That happened with Oz, and it happened with Jack Hermanson. And Jack Hermanson, look, he's never going to get that position again if he fights 1,000 times, the position he got on Jack Hermanson. So I just don't know what kind of mileage you're going to get out of there. I think that Vettori boxes him up in space. And Vettori is a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, and he's very physical. So I don't even know if Felice will be able to do all that stuff to him if they scramble on the ground. It would be cool to see. And I don't know how well he's going to score. That's the other thing. I think Dolice is very durable, if nothing else. So this might be a majority pick for me. But I can't pick Dolice here. This has got to be where he runs into the wall, I think. So I'm going with Tori.
See you guys Saturday. If Dolice wins, I'm going to have a good day. Casey O'Neill, 8,500, taking on Jennifer Maia, 7,700. Line in this fight, King Casey is... minus 185, comeback on Maia, plus 150. Joe mentioned earlier, you know, picking a Joanne Wood who doesn't exist anymore. If you're picking Jennifer Maia, I think that's exactly what you're doing. Jennifer Maia does not exist anymore. And I think new school fighter like Casey beats her anyway. I think Casey will be fine on the feet. She'll be dominant on the ground if he gets there. Give me King Casey, and I feel pretty good about it. Chris, you're first.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about it, too, and I was surprised to see a lot of Maia picks out there. I just don't think she does enough. She's a good boxer. She's got physicality, as we saw in the Shevchenko fight, but Casey just overwhelming. The 225 significant strikes in three rounds she threw in the Roxy Monteferi fight, plus grappling. I don't think she'll catch a sub off her back like she did against Joanne Wood. I think she's just going to be there to be hit, maybe throw a few counters. Maybe get swallowed up a little bit by the pressure and pace of Casey O'Neill. So, yeah, I like her quite a bit, too. I don't really see the appeal of Maia. Even if she won, I don't really see how she scores. So give me O'Neill to keep that hype train roll.
Joe?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Maia makes me a little nervous. But I've got Casey on the V's metric at 2.25 to 2.5. If you look at her last four fights, 122, 131, 110, and 140. And now we're getting her at a pretty significant discount off of her last two fights. She was 9.5K against Roxy and 9,000 against, you know, Antonina Shevchenko. You know, her debut, she was 8,500 against Dotson. And then she was actually a dog against Laura Proposcio and scored 110 points. So I like Casey here. You know, I'm a little nervous because Maya is good, or at least was good. But this is Casey in front of the home crowd. 4-fight winning streak, 9-0. You know, scores a 2.25 to 2.5 on the B scale. I like Casey here. I think she's going to be pretty popular based on her, you know, prolific scoring and the fact that you're getting her at a pretty substantial discount to her last two fights.
All right, next fight up. Let's talk Gunny Nelson, 9,200. Brian Barberena, 7,000. The line on this fight, Gunny's -375. Barberena's +280. This comes down to can Gunny get it down and how quickly? I think he does. I actually think he gets it done early, but it wouldn't surprise me if he kind of has to find his way in. And if Barberena can keep it on the feet, he's live. I don't know how big he'll score in that type of fight. Unless he just totally wears out Gunny. So Barberena isn't my least favorite dog on the card, I should say. Like he's not dead. I just, when I'm breaking the fight down, I do think Gunny finds a submission more times than not. But there's a path for Barberena. There's a viable path. I'm not Xing him out like I personally will be to like a Malcolm Gordon. And shots to anybody who picked Malcolm Gordon, but that's me personally. This fight is Joe.
Yeah, I have heard some love for Barberena, and I don't get it. I mean, he's been beating ghosts, really. I mean, his good scores have been coming up against ghosts of other fighters. Not to mention, you know, someone in the crowd fanned themselves, and Barberena went down. You know, if Gunny can't get this fight to the ground, I would be absolutely shocked. Now, you know, he looked a little bit like he was playing with his food in his last fight, like, I was screaming because I had Gunny by sub. I'm screaming, come on, how do you not finish this guy? How do you not finish this guy? So, you know, he's gonna take him down. He's going to get a buttload of control time. I just don't know what his score is going to be, but I like Gunny a lot here. I don't think he's going to try to strike with Barberena, but, like, come on. Like, look at who Barberena has beaten recently. He's been on a decline. He's had surgeries. He wasn't sure whether he was ever going to fight again, and he literally has looked good against ghosts. So I don't get the love for Barberena here. I you know, this is essentially a home fight for Nelson, and you know, the rumor here is, and again, I know how you guys like rumor and narratives, they want to get Nelson a win so he could fight on the Conor McGregor card, because Nelson is a buddy and training partner of Conor McGregor. So they want to put him into a fight that's gonna get him a relatively easy win, and then he can transition into the card that Conor McGregor is fighting on.
That Conor McGregor fight is so far in the future because my dude's not in the testing pool because he's still cycling.
Well, like, I don't know if you've heard the rumors about him maybe getting a waiver.
Shocking! He's gonna be juiced out of his mind.
So I don't know.
He's turned into a joke. McGregor's a joke, guys. Remember McGregor?
I always thought he was overrated, personally, but whatever.
Big time joke. Anyway, Chris, who you got?
Yeah. Before you try to convince me to pick Barberena, you have to give me one committed grappler that Barberena has beaten. I mean, everybody. I actually would say that Barberena is the best guy to pick against when he's facing grapplers because he always gets back to his feet, and it always leads to more takedowns. I was surprised that RDA just ran over him with the submission because generally he doesn't get some. In fact, only the second sub of his career, and the last one before this was like a decade ago. Now, he hasn't fought that many true submission grapplers. Colby Covington, of course, Prince and Wrestler, but it's not a real submission artist. But I can see him kind of surviving a little bit against Gunny here. Gunny is kind of a control grappler. As Joe sort of alluded to in the Sato fight, it took him to round three to get the sub there. As long as he focuses on his submission defense, I think he was a little bit too much trying to get back to his feet, like thinking it might have been the Colby Covington fight, but RDA is a different animal. Still, I think Gunner is going to score plenty at the price point just because rinse and repeat for Barberena, even if he doesn't stop him. So I think Gunnar Nelson, I actually think this one's pretty easy.
Right, next fight up. Co-main event time. Rafael Fiziev, 8,800. Taking on Justin the Highlight Reel Gaethje at 7,400. Line on this fight, Fiziev is -250. Gaethje's +190. Did you see yet again Gaethje saying, "Yeah, I use all my tools. My new plan is to never get hit." Like, how many times are you gonna recycle the same shit? You are who you are. You're gonna have insane wars. Just shut up and let's go from there. Like, I'm tired of these fighters lying to us. Like, come on, just stop. Let's have a fun fight. And he's lied for that reason. Fiziev's gonna be in a war. I think Fiziev is a good enough striker to angle off counter and put Gaethje on skates like Gaethje always gets put on skates. But Gaethje could clip him. I mean, it's not Fiziev is hittable. We've seen him hit plenty of times. And, you know, clearly he has power. Just in that kind of wild striking exchange, Fiziev's going to make you pay more times than not. So that's what side I am on for this fight. Chris, who you got?
Yeah, and that's why you can't pick Gaethje here. I mean, Gaethje, he might run in and land some shots, but you can't pick him against a powerful, way more deep, way more quick striker. It just doesn't work. And Gaethje's never really fought anybody like this who's going to angle off, who's really going to make him pay for overextending. I mean, the closest he came was Oliveira, who kept making him pay with jabs and knees and stuff. But even then, it's nothing like the athleticism and power of Fiziev. So, yeah, I mean, the leg kicks always work. The pressure always works. I'm sure Fiziev has never seen anybody like this. That counts for something. Having said that, you can't. There's just way too much of a skill gap to pick Gaethje here. So I'm going Fiziev late round two stuff.
Joe, who you got?
I'm going to pick Gaethje here. I looked at the I'm maybe reaching here, I know, but I looked at the fight against Bobby Green, and I looked at the fact that if that fight went another round, I am totally convinced Bobby Green won that fight and maybe wins it by finish, right? And, you know, I don't think Bobby Green hits as hard as Gaethje does. So if for some reason, and again, everybody asks, when is Gaethje going to wrestle? I'm so sick of hearing the fact that he's a collegiate wrestler. He doesn't wrestle. I mean, if he did, I'd like his chances more. But, I mean, what is he here? 7.4K against Fiziev, I think that should be a lot closer. I think there's real value at 7.4K. You know, look, would I be surprised if Fiziev won? No. I mean, but I think the value here is with the dog. I don't think, unless you think Fiziev is going to put Gaethje away, which again, Chris does, but I don't. I kind of like the dog here at 7.4K. I like him to, you know, potentially, you know, to get the win here and kind of wear down with volume on Fiziev. And if he does actually, you know, go to his wrestling, which, you know, you always keep hearing rumors, like he's been wrestling with Usman, you know, like this camp, like if he does go to that, I like him a hell of a lot more. I'd be shocked, as would many people, but at 7.4K, I like Gaethje. I don't expect to get much of Fiziev. He's priced too high. There's too many other fighters I like, but I'm going with Gaethje.
All right, guys, main event time. Kamaru Usman, 8,900, taking on the champ, Leon Edwards, 7,300. Line on this fight. Usman is -245, Edwards +205. We got a nice discount on Kamaru Usman, who even last time in his loss against Leon, he put up 98 points. Just don't get knocked out, buddy. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Now, Leon clearly is a great fighter. I just think Kamaru is that much better and should be determined. And I think he's actually going to go and ground and pound Leon out of there. But maybe Leon's made some adjustments. It's you know, I'm picking Usman. The issue here is that, well, I think it's a great fight for Usman. And the ownership Leon Edwards is going to get is making me uncomfortable in GPPs. Like, I might take a stand and go underweight. In cash games, I'll probably stack it up and just move on. And, you know, Edwards, it's not going to hurt me in cash games because he'll be 80% owned in cash games, 70, 80. Like, he'll be – the stack is going to be the move. So I'm on Usman. I'm probably going to take a stand on the fight, go heavy on Usman, light on Edwards. That's how I have this one. Joe, who do you have?
I like Usman here a fair bit. I mean, I think you're getting him at a discount. You know, kind of poor – I don't know if I want to call it fight IQ or if the fact he just got lazy.
You just got caught.
I mean,
that's
attracted. I like him. I like him here a fair bit. I'll probably have a few shares of Edwards. Haven't decided yet if I want to stack this up in cash. Because I like, you know, Ash Moose at 7.2K and Leon Edwards is more expensive than that. I may decide to go that way in cash, but you know, I'll have some shares of Edwards. I mean, he's in front of the home crowd. I guess what I don't get is I'm hearing people on other pods, you know, saying how they expect Edwards to be better here. And I'm thinking to myself, based on what? Like, you know, if anything, he kind of went out and he lived the champ lifestyle. I don't begrudge him that, but like, you know, he's, you know, I'm not saying he's not training seriously for this fight, but you know, under what auspices would he be better in this fight than he has been in the last two, which he was really losing decisively. He lost one decisively, was losing this decisively. I don't know. I like Usman a lot here.
Yeah. Just one thing real quick. I know, like, a lot of times our tendency is to be like, oh, this guy messed up, when sometimes you just got to tip your hat. I mean, Edwards did a good thing there, and then he deserved the win. Can he do it again is the question. And the answer, I think, is probably a resounding no. I mean, this is like, I mean, it's a little, it's not exactly the same, but it's like, what if you ran back McGregor versus Aldo? Does he still land the big shot in 13 seconds? Probably not, right? The thing about Edwards here, he gets backed up to the fence way too much. And if you do that, you're just giving Edwards the fight, because he's between striking and grappling like seamlessly. Edwards has enough anti-wrestling to make fights competitive and stuff it for like a round, maybe two. Third and fourth round was just Usman running away because Edwards was getting tired. And as long as he doesn't replicate the big shot, Usman is gonna have a big score. I am nervous that he's so cheap because it's too inviting almost, but I can't help it. I'm gonna be almost 100% on Usman. I just don't see it happening again. I think that this is the point differential here. He could put up 130 at 8,600. So I mean, yeah, you have to go there. I think you have to go there. I'm on Usman very heavily. Like Leon Edwards is a fighter, but this is just not the match for him.
All right, guys, that's all we got. Let's go hot takes and the unexpected you think will happen at UFC 286. If you got them in chat, drop them. Let's see what you guys are working with. I can drop mine first. Dolidze wins by finish. I know you guys already hate it. I don't care. Dolidze finishes Marvin Vettori.
Yeah, I'm going to do a V-metric parlay with an average V rating of 2.4. It's going to be Macedo Hardy again and King Casey. That's my V-metric parlay. It's 6-1.
You know, the best thing about it, it's not even that funny, is how much it hurts Chris's insides. That's what makes me happy.
That is my
V-metric. You got it, Chris.
Yeah.
I can't pretend. I'm too tired to pretend I don't hate it. Okay, I am also on Hardy, but for fight reasons, plus 1,200 via submission.
I like it.
Far too wide. Plus 1,200.
You guys are crazy. All right. I think the usual chat viewers not hanging around, a little bit later start. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us, watching this on replay, subscribing to the channel, and all of that good stuff. That's what we got for UFC 286, Edwards versus Usman.
Guys, we got this done in just slightly over an hour. This was really good.
Because as a host, I'm the man. Jake, I'm going to ask for a raise. I'll talk to you guys later.
Yeah,
have a good week. Good luck in those contests.
Peace.
Thanks, everybody.
Catch. When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.